Okay, we're on page 1074, three lines from the end of the page. It's called the Teichacha, the admonishment of Moshe Rabbeinu admonishing the Jewish people if they don't do what Hashem wants them to do. Until now, Hashem is telling you, if you do all those things. No, I'm sorry. Wrong page. 1076 at the bottom. I looked at the wrong page. You're right. 1076 at the bottom, two lines in the end of the page. Okay, the Torah was saying, if you keep all Torah and mitzvahs, you'll be blessed in the fields, and then your kids and the parnasa, and all the enemies will run away. All the great things are going to happen. Okay, so it says in the Zohar that when Moshe Rabbeinu opened up his mouth to say the curses, what's called the Teichacha, if you don't listen, so it says the earth shook, the heavens got quiet, the sun and the moon shook, the stars stopped shining, the Avos HaElam, the patriarchs screamed from the place of the Levaya, and all the creations got quiet. Okay? And this is what the Targum Yonasan ben Aziel also says this. Yonasan ben Aziel says this is what happened when Moshe Rabbeinu was about to say the curses. And basically they were saying, how in the world can the Jew exist with all these terrible curses that are going to happen? So it says, a voice came out from heaven and said, don't worry, because even when the merits of the Jews will stop, because they'll sin, but your merits of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov will last forever. Okay? So just before, last week we mentioned, and not last week, there's no class, 2 weeks ago we mentioned that in there's twice in the Torah the Teichacha, okay, the curses. Once in Parshas Bechukosai, where there's 49 curses. Here, in Parshas Kisavei, there's 98 curses, exactly double the amount of in Vayikra, number one. Number two, over there in Parshas Bechukosai, it speaks it all in Loshen Rabim, in plural. Yeah. Over there it says like this, Im Laisish Mu'uli, all plural. V'Laisasu, everything's plural. Here the Torah starts, and we'll see it now inside. V'hoyim le'sishma b'kel Hashem alakecha. It's all singular. Okay? In Bashar b'chukaisai, it's plural. Sishma'u, all the curses are plural. In Bashar's kisavei, they're all singular. Over there is 49. Here is 98. The Ramban and other Mefarshim explain that the curses in Bashar's b'chukaisai speaks about the first base of Mikdash. If you don't listen, the first Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed. These curses represent the second Beis HaMikdash, which is much worse, because between the first and the second Beis HaMikdash was only 70 years galus. Now we're over 2,000 years. So it's much, much longer galus and a much more severe galus. But why does it say it singular, and over there is plural, and over there is 49, and here is 98? So Mefarshim explain like this, two concepts. One is, and we mentioned this, started mentioning this 2 weeks ago. Here, already, the last time we learned, a week, 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago, we learned that the Jews at this point in life became responsible one for another. It became responsible one for another. So over there it was possible, when it speaks about Sishmu'u, plural, it could be, it speaks about this, every man was for themselves. They were not responsible for somebody else. Responsibility of Kol Yisrael Revim Zabazah, that they're responsible one for the next, that began over here in Arvei Smoyev. In Bechukaisi, it didn't exist yet. So over there he's speaking like this. Even if the masses are no good, even though singular people are good, you're still going to be punished. Okay? Because they were not responsible one for another. Here, the Torah says, even the Mleisishma, as an individual you don't listen? Because everybody's responsible for you and you're responsible for everybody else. You're going to get double the curses. Because it's not you as an individual anymore, it's you as part of everybody else. So and it's interesting. Over there it's plural, because every man was for themselves. So therefore, in order to get the curses, everybody had to not listen. The plural, the majority of the people were not didn't have to listen. Here, even if one person doesn't listen, the Torah says, because you're all responsible one for another, it's going to happen anyway. And he says like this.
What happened now we are yachtud? We have yachtud. What's the reason that we have yachtud right now?
Why we have achtus or don't have achtus?
We have right now. Because
if we would have real achtus, Mashiach would be already. Mashiach would be, he wouldn't be here already. Okay. So it says like this. By the way, just one more thing I want to say. There's a basic premise in Yiddishkeit. Hashem is good. Hashem is the essence of good. Etzem ha-tev. Teva ha-tev la-hitiv. The nature of good is to do good. Therefore, there's a pasuk that says, Ein ra yerid min ha-shamayim. No evil comes from God. Everything Hashem does is good. The difference is, sometimes we see the good, and sometimes we don't see the good. But there's no question in fundamental belief and faith, if Hashem does it, it gotta be good. And it is good. All these curses, that the 98 curses coming up now, is basically the ultimate level of good, except we don't merit to see them. And certain psukim will learn, they do define, you see clearly, you know, how they really are good. Okay? You have to, and keep that one second. So he says like this, Meisishma b'kol Hashem alakecha, if you will not listen to the voice of Hashem, and lishma lasis is called mitzvese v'chukesa, that you won't listen to his mitzvahs and his chukim, asher nechi mitzavcha yim, that I'm commanding you today, if you don't listen, all these curses will come upon you and they will overtake you. You're going to become affected by all these curses. Okay? But not, God forbid, Hashem is doing anything bad. Okay? And he says another thing. When a person wants to punish somebody else, they'll do it all at one shot. Hashem is merciful. He does it little by little. Or as they say, yiddle by yiddle. You know, Jew by Jew. Hashem does it very patiently, because Hashem is always hoping the person will do tshuva. Sometimes these curses, what seem to be curses, are basically what Hashem is doing, so to speak, to force you to do tshuva. How does Hashem force you to do tshuva? He punishes you. And if he punishes you, the person sees Hashem means business, and therefore we need to do tshuva. But this is all a cleansing process of what Yiddishkeit is all about. Okay, we're not going to spend a lot of time on the curses because, you know, what's the reason for it? So he says like this, Orirata Vo'ir, again, this is just the opposite that we spoke about before. You'll be cursed in the city, Orirata Basada, you'll be cursed in the field. Orir Tanacha Umishatecha, curse will be your fruit basket and your kneading bowl. Order privitnecha ufriad masecha. Cursed will be the fruit of your womb, meaning your children, the fruit of your ground. Shkar alafecha va'ashri sinecha, the offspring of your cattle, the flocks of your sheep and goat. Now the Mefarshim explained, the Arachim over here explains one interesting nukuda that needs to be like this. He says, Torah punishes for three things. He says, Talmud Torah, learning Torah, desecrating negative mitzvahs and not keeping the positive mitzvahs. Okay? And he says, basically, what the pasuk over here is saying, if you will not keep the mitzvahs, meaning positive and negative mitzvahs, and you will list Sishma Bakur Hashem El Kecha, you will not learn Torah. So that's when all these curses are going to come. Not learning Torah, desecrating the negative mitzvahs, and not doing the positive mitzvahs. That's when all the things are going to come. So he says that the Chaim HaKodesh says, this is the whole concept of these punishments. Now there's certain differences we see.
What is Mitzvah and what's the other one?
What?
That you have to do.
Not keep your Lo Sase and Mitzvah Sase.
So this is including two.
Right, that's what he says. This pasuk includes all three. But it's interesting, in the brachas part of this, and pasuk Dalid, it says, Baruch pri vitnecho fri ad mascho, ufri vamtecho, and then it says, Baruch tanacho umishartecho. First he speaks about your children will be blessed, and then it says, tanacho umishartecho, which over here, if you look at the order, is different. Here he says, tanacho mishartecho, and then order pri vitnecho. By the bracha, he says pri vitnecho first. And by the curses, he says first, tanacho mishartecho, your food basket and your kneading bowl. Right? It's interesting. By the bracha, first comes kids, then the other things. And by this, the curses, first comes the other things and then the kids.
How come he's not coming for Esau and his blessing? He's sadly, he's everything. Why come he's not for Esau? He's begging for the...
Yitzchak had all these brachas.
He doesn't have the Mark Pechir there.
Yitzchak had it good.
End of the life.
He was wealthy, blind, healthy, wise.
Blind.
He wasn't blind. He didn't see. Doesn't say he was blind. The Mepharshim say you can't say Yitzchak was blind because he was a carbon oila tmima, and a carbon can't become blemished.
But towards the end of his life, though,
his eyes dimmed. Doesn't say he became blind. If a techena ein of meres, it says his eyes became dimmed from seeing.
Cataract.
But it says, but Rashi says, but one interesting point, which is connected really here a little bit. Why were his eyes dimmed? So Rashi says three things. Yeah? Either because the smoke of the Esav's idol-worshipping wives got into his eyes, right? And Rivka was used to it from home, so it didn't affect her eyes. This is the Mepharshim explained. Another reason it says by the Akedah, the Malachim started crying, and their tears went into his eyes and he became blind, or not able to see. And then Rashi says a third thing. That Yaakov should take the brachas. That's Rashi says. Kedeshiyah, the third reason, Davar Acher. And Pasha told us. Rashi says, why did he dim his eyes? That Yaakov should get the brachas. Because he couldn't see, right? If you think about it, it's a very interesting concept. How old was Yitzchak at that time? 123. Rashi says, I don't know when I'm going to die. Rashi says, within 5 years of your parents' life, so because Sarah died at 127, at 123, he started getting, not knowing when he's going to die. When did Yitzchak actually die? At 180. That means 57 years earlier was when Yaakov took the brachas. Correct? Yeah? Now just picture this. Hashem, I'm going to use the word blind, but again, it's not actually blind. Hashem made Yitzchak blind for 57 years, because from 123 until he died, he was blind. That Yaakov should get the brachas, not Esav. Yeah? That's pretty harsh. So the question is, why didn't Hashem just tell Yitzchak, you know what? Esav's a bad guy. Give it to Yaakov. He makes him blind for 57 years. So what's the moral of the story? Instead of speaking Lashon Hara against the Jew, because Esav had a din of a Jew, The Gemara says Yishmael came from Hogar at the din of a goy. But Esav, the Gemara says, Yisroel Mumer Hava. He was a rebellious Jew, but he was a Jew. Not to speak Lashon Hara against another Jew, it was worth for Yitzchok to be blind 57 years.
Wow.
Okay?
Isn't this the Gemara it says?
What?
Not to speak Lashon Hara against
the
Jew?
No, it's a Sikh of the Rebbe, but the Rebbe explains it based on the Mefarshim. But this is the concept that he says, Yitzchak, Hashem could have just told him, you know, save his eyesight and tell him, you know, give the bracha to Yaakov. Okay, anyway. So Yitzchak didn't have these bracha. But so the Mepharshim say, what's the difference over here? The difference is like this. By the tzaddikim, okay, the children are more important. So by the bracha, he speaks about the children first. That's more important. By the curses, when the Jews sin, and they're becoming a shoyim, so for them, their money is more important than the kids. The material stuff. So Hashem curses the material stuff, and then the children. But it's interesting that there's daka a difference.
You know what's very interesting, Rabbi?
What?
In all of the Torah Shebichtav, it never calls Esav out loud. Outright calls Esav a Rasha. I mean, the Mefarshim say that he's not
correct.
A good guy.
Because Torah doesn't speak bad about anybody.
I mean, it doesn't say anything.
He wasn't Rasha.
I mean, no, Esav was.
Esav, yeah. Okay, anyway, my turn.
How come you respect his
time? He had great Kibbut Avaim.
Yeah.
That's the most important.
And the Gemara says about great Tzaddikim of the Gemara that didn't even come close to the Kibbut Avaim that Esav had for Yitzchak. When he came over to serve his father, he put on these very important garments, very chashuv garments, that he kept in the house, just to serve his father. Go, so Esav had his maila. You know, he had his greatness, but generally speaking, he was a Russian. Okay. Ararata beveyacha, you'll be cursed coming into the world. Ararata beveyacha, you'll be cursed when you leave the world. Yishalach Hashem becha, Hashem will send you esame'era, mohuma, v'esame'geres, attrition, confusion, and worry. You know, there's no greater blessing than peace of mind.
Yeah, that's
peace of mind is the ultimate bracha. In fact, the Gemara says, "Ein simcha." The Gemara says, "Ein simcha kataras asveikis." When you solve your doubts, that means you have a clear head. You know, there's no greater simcha than that. So one of the worst curses somebody can have is to be confused. And like he says, worry, trishim is also a time of worry. B'chol mishach yotcha shetasa, in every undertaking that you will do. And this will last ad until you're destroyed. Va'ad avotcha maher, until you will become quickly annihilated, meaning destroyed, because of your evil, of your deeds, asher azavtani, that you left me. So basically Hashem says, what is one of the major curses over here? You will be distraught, confused, worried, you go around not knowing where you go and what you're doing, what you know.
Confused.
Confused is the worst thing. Yad beik Hashem b'cha, Hashem will attach the plague to you, as Adavid the plague, at Kaleisa Eischa, until he consumes you. Meyalo Adama, from the land, Ashata Vashama Lerishta, that you're coming to inherit the land. Okay? So basically, Hashem says, I will mix you up, I'll destroy you, I will attach the plague to you, and everything.
This is mercy of the Hashem?
Huh?
This is mercy, it's mercy of Hashem.
Yeah. Yep. It's great mercy. Okay, I see. Yaakov Hashem, Hashem will strike you, Vashachefes, with swelling lesions, Kadachas, with fever, Dalekas, burning heat. Kadachas, by the way, Rashi says, is when you're hot, like you know, when you have fever, you're hot and cold together. That's Kadachas. Kadachas is a mixture of hot and cold together.
And this is all true, I understand.
Over dalekes, with burning heat, v'acharchur, with thirst, with the levacherev, and with the sword, over shidofen, over yerokim, with the wind blasts, and with the withering, udafucha adivecha, and will pursue you until your destruction.
Are they done, or are we looking forward to all these?
We're looking very much forward to it.
And if we're
so Rashi says charchor. Rashi explains means that it's an illness within you that you keep getting thirsty, and all that.
Why they give this bracha to old guys?
The what?
The aliyah. This aliyah, they
don't give it to old guys.
The Sephardic, they do the old
guys. No, in our custom, the Balkari gets it. The one that reads the Torah gets it, and he's not called up, but he says the brachas.
And meanwhile, I haven't done an aliyah in a long time.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Usually, this aliyah is given to the
Balkari.
I thought it was given to the Rav of the Shul.
Officially, Balkari gets it. Unless if he's Levi. There's a lot of different customs. In the Ashkenazi communities, the Balkari gets it, but you don't call him up. He just goes up himself. Right.
And it's written in a very sad tone, right?
It's read not in a sad tone. You read it a little bit quicker and a little bit lower. Not as loud as the rest, and a little bit quicker. Because like you want to show that we're not too interested in it. Okay, then... What?
In
the curses. Okay. Vayu shemecha asher areshcha necheshes. The heaven above your head will be like copper, meaning they won't produce any rain. Va'ares asher tachtecha barzel, and the land beneath you will be iron. Okay, in other words, the heavens are not going to give rain, the earth are not going to produce. Yitin Hashem is metan artzicha avak v'afar. Hashem will cause the rain to be dust and dirt. You ever notice when there's a light drizzle? You know what it does to the cars? Okay. And that's what it does to the grain also. Because it's a little bit, it dries up. It dries up the fruit. And it doesn't grow. So the little rain is also bad.
When do we have to look forward to all this?
Never again. From the heaven. One second.
No, really, when is this
going to happen? Let's see what he says here. Okay, Hashem's going to give the rain. Avak v'afim min ha-shemayim yedet alecha is going to come down from the heaven. Okay? Adi shamdach until it destroys you. Okay? Now,
Abba, I came to control him.
Okay, yeah. Who's controlling you, though? Okay, now, it doesn't say, by the way, in Pasuk Chabez, when it says, Ad Avdecha, until you get destroyed, that's passive. Ad Avdecha, until you will be destroyed. It doesn't say it will destroy you. Because number one, as Rashi explains, it means that the people themselves will end up destroying themselves from hunger and disease and all that. Nobody's going to destroy them, actively destroy them. They're going to end up being destroyed rather than anybody actively doing it. Okay, next. By the way, these, just for the record, these are all hidden brachas. Okay? There's a famous Gemara. Okay? Reb Shim ben Yochai sent his son, Rabbi Lazar, right? Rabbi Lazar is Rabbi Shimon Yochai's son, to get a bracha from Yehuda ben Gadim and another rabbi. He said, these are very great rabbis, go get a blessing from them. He comes to them, and they say to him, what do you want? He said, my father sent me for a bracha. He said, no. So they said, you should plant and never harvest. Your ship should go out and never return. I mean, such great brachas they gave him. So he came home, a little bit depressed. Came home to his father, and his father said, no. He said, I don't think they blessed me, I think they cursed me. He said, what did they say? So he told them. So he says, these are very, very deep brachas. You shall harvest, I mean, you should plant and not harvest means you should give birth to children and they will never be cut. They will never die. You will send out your ships and they will never return. Means you will marry off your daughters. They will go to the husbands and they'll never come back because they won't get divorced or widowed. So he told them these sounds like very terrible curses. But the bottom line is they're very, very deep blessings.
So these are deep blessings?
Very, all of them.
Oh, wow.
They're so deep, they can't come down in a form of revealed good. They can only come down in a way of hidden good. Hidden good is higher than the revealed good. 2 weeks ago we mentioned, the Pasuk says, and later on in Parashat Nitzavim, Hanistares Lashem Elokeinu, the hidden things, Nistar, the hidden things are for God, Vahaniglais, and the revealed things, Lanu Uvaneinu Adelim is to us and our children. So the Pasuk simply says, the hidden things are to God, the revealed things are for us. We see them. So, in Kabbalah it says, and Alter Rebbe brings this down in Tanya, in God's name there's Yud-Ke, Yud-Hei, and Vav-Hei. Now Yud-Hei is higher than Vav-Hei. The Yud-Hei is Chochmah Bina, and this is the six fetus and Malchus. So it says like this, Hanistaris, the hidden levels of good, is the Hashem Elokeinu, come from the level of Yud-Kei. Ve-Ha-Nigleis, Vav-Hei-Nigleis, the revealed good, comes from the level of Vav-Hei. Okay? And therefore the Pasuk says like this, Ashrei Agever, tell him there's a Pasuk. Ashrei Agever, fortunate is the person, Asher Tiyasrenu Yo, that God will torture you.
Oh, I'm the most fortunate.
That's what it says. Asher Agev Asher Tiyasrenu Ka. Okay, that's what the Pasuk says. What does that mean? Why is a guy who God makes suffer is fortunate? Or there's another Pasuk that says, Es Asher Yehav Hashem, somebody God loves, Yechi will admonish. What does that mean? So it's very simple. Revealed good comes from the letters Vav-Hei of Hashem's name. Vav-Hei, the lower level. Ve-Hanigles. Hidden good comes from the level of Yud-Kei, of the first two letters of God's name, which is a much higher level than the revealed good, which means hidden good, i.e. what looks bad, but it's hidden good, comes from a higher level than the revealed good of Vav-Hei. And therefore the Pasuk says, when the level of Yud-Kei punishes you, makes you suffer, actually you're fortunate, because it's coming from such a high level of good that it can't come down in an open form of good, because that would limit and restrict the level of good. So that's hard for us to understand, because we like to have revealed good. In fact, like we said, the question that everybody asks, so why are we davening Hashem for open good if the hidden good is better? We should all daven to suffer. According to this, we should all daven to suffer because it's a higher level of good. So the answer is, what are we davening? What are we davening? Hashem is so great, He can make this hidden level of good revealed. And that's what we daven. We don't want the revealed good, which is limited. What we're davening to Hashem is, make the hidden good that looks bad, make it revealed good. Because Hashem can do whatever He wants. He can make the hidden good revealed.
Excuse me, I have a question. So, would you say that this is coming from that torture.
A higher level, no?
A higher place. What does that exactly mean in the grand scheme of things? I apologize for interrupting, but this.
Yeah, you should.
This is very important to me because it's very applicable to me, I believe. So please kindly clarify that. How is it good?
I will answer your question.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
Good. We learned this already. Surgery is good or bad?
Depends on the doctor.
The doctor.
In general.
Surgery is good or bad?
Good.
You want surgery?
If necessary.
Ah. Ah. That's the word. That's the point. Surgery, if you need it,
correct,
is good.
Correct.
Even though outwardly, surgery is painful. Debilitating.
Correct.
I mean, you know, everybody, especially if it's a major surgery, you know, I mean, God forbid, you know. But will somebody say surgery is bad because it's painful and it hurts and you can't work and you're stuck and you can't move and you're... Nobody's going to say that.
When you look at the
outcome, if you need it,
correct,
it's good.
Correct.
If you don't need it,
correct,
it's bad.
Correct.
To go for surgery if you don't need it is terrible. Okay. Correct. All these surgeries,
correct,
that the Torah is giving here, it's surgeries.
Correct.
It's painful.
Correct.
The Torah says, if you don't listen, meaning you get sick, everything's spiritual here, yeah?
Correct.
If you spiritually get sick,
correct,
meaning, i.e., you don't listen to God, you don't learn Torah, you don't do mitzvahs, positive and negative and all that stuff,
correct,
so Hashem says, you're sick, we're going to heal you
surgery,
through surgery.
Painful.
Painful, but
in
essence, it's good. Why is it good? Because now you're healed.
What if you're resisting?
One second. Over here, it's the different thing. Let me tell you, it's a little different here. And it's even better here. God forbid if somebody has a heart attack, a stroke, whatever, they need surgery, whatever it may be. Most of the time, they're not bringing it upon themselves. Maybe you say that they don't take care of the health. But, I mean, generally speaking, we don't plan to get sick. Right? And say, okay, today I'm going to get sick. But when a person spiritually gets sick, they're doing it to themselves. Huh? Nobody.
But even physically.
Okay, I'm not. But I'm saying, more so spiritually,
yeah,
more so spiritually, the person is making themselves sick. And Hashem says, listen, I'm not telling you need surgery. Be healthy, spiritually, right? Be healthy, you won't need surgery. You're going to make yourself sick. Hashem says, listen, I love you, but I'm going to have to do surgery on you. Because I love you, I'm going to do surgery and make you better. That's all these things what they are. Nothing else, nothing different in any way whatsoever. These are all various different surgeries for different ailments, for different sicknesses. This is the surgery for this and this and this and this. What?
David HaMelech said, Shivtecha v'shantecha nirachamuni. He said, your rod and your staff comfort me.
Right.
I saw a Taish once that said that David HaMelech was saying that sometimes if he goes, I mean, we can't say David HaMelech was a tzaddik, but if
he was a tzaddik.
He was a tzaddik. But it's meaning that if I go off the derech, if I go off a little bit, you put me back into center. So
hit me back.
You hit me back. You give me a little punch.
Yeah, but David HaMelech was a big
tzaddik. No, but I'm saying for us, if we say that part of Tehillim.
That is what this is all about.
Right.
Okay. It's a very simple concept. You get sick, you're going to need surgery. At that time, though, when you're sick, instead of just letting you die, okay, God says we're going to perform surgery.
Right, so that's what
it's painful, but that's what it's all.
Okay,
weiter.
Okay,
Father, what's more challenging is that why should one come to a state where he would need surgeries without him actually being negligent about his health, that he's predisposed to be so... And also why such calamities that go generations upon generations, suffering that really linger upon
generations.
Adam and Chava sinned, correct?
You got
we are still suffering till today.
Yeah, Yeah, but the sin was...
One minute. Parents, believe it or not, do the same thing to their children. If they, I'm not talking, God forbid, molestation, if they abuse the children, they don't raise them correctly, okay? Or whatever it is, physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, in any way whatsoever, right? So, why should a kid suffer? Think about it. Why should a kid suffer? Because the parents were idiots. But the bottom line is,
I understand
they do.
They were drug abusers and they conceived the child in a
correct
circumstance.
Correct. So the question is,
there are some circumstances that's not the case, that the parents were very proper. And
so sometimes it says that the curses go from parent to child when the children follow in the footsteps of the parents and so on and so forth. So yeah, that's why Hashem's business. So sometimes it's like this, sometimes it's like this. But what we need to understand, and this is what the Torah is teaching us over here, don't think that you're in it for yourself. Because what you do, like Cain when he killed Hevel, Hashem said to Cain, kill the mei achicha, the bloods of your brother. And Rashi quotes in the Medrash, what do you mean bloods, plural? Because if you didn't kill Hevel, he would have had children, or had children, or had children, or had children. There'd be another 6 billion people in the world. Right? So by him killing Hevel, he stopped it all. And the same thing in, that's in the physical sense. But in the emotional sense, it's also, it's, okay, right. Yite, okay, Pasuk Chafei. Yitencha Hashem nigov lefnei oivecha. Hashem, you cause you to be struck down before your enemies. Bederech echod teitzei elov. You'll go out to fight the battle on one road. Shiva derochim. Page 1078, Pasuk 25. B'shiva drachem tonus lefanov, in 7 ways you'll run a flee against him. V'haysa lezava, you'll be a cause of terror. L'chom am l'chaysa for all kingdoms of the earth. Okay, you're going to be disaster for everything. Okay? V'haysa nevlascha l'machol, your carcasses will be food for every bird in the sky, for every animal on earth, and nothing will frighten them. Meaning like this. Hashem told Adam and Ishin and Noach, okay, there's another interesting Torah concept that people aren't aware of this, so to speak. Hashem says to Adam and Ishin and to Noach, animals by nature will fear you. Okay? Umerachem v'chitchem, the fear and your awe, you are kol chayos haaretz, will be on all the animals of the earth. When an animal looks at a person, because of that promise, so to speak, animals are afraid of people. The problem is, says in Svarim, that when a person, and the pasuk says, why? Ki betzelem elokim asa sa'adam. Because God created man in the image of God. So therefore, when an animal sees a person, and the person has the image of God on his forehead, okay, the animals see you and are afraid of you. What happens when a person starts sinning? So the image of God goes off the face, and all the animals see is another animal. Okay? So here the pasuk says, when you sin, the animals are going to eat you. They're not going to be afraid of you, because all they're going to see is another animal. And by the way, this is how the Zohar explains the miracle. We mentioned this in the past. The Nile and the lions. The famous miracle. You learn the story. It sounds like a great miracle. Nebuchadnezzar didn't feed the lions for a few days, and he made them real hungry, and then he throws the Nile in, and miracle happened! They didn't touch him. Yeah? So when you learn it simply, it's a miracle. The Zohar says it's not a miracle. The Nile was a tzaddik. The lion saw the image of God on his face. And the Pasuk promises, Umerecham v'chitchem yi'akol chayas aretz. So if you have the Tzelem Eloki, which Daniel had, so the animals were afraid of him. It wasn't a miracle. It was natural. Because he had the image of God on his face. Here the Pasuk says, you're going to be mamish like the animal, vein machirid. They're not going to, nothing will frighten them. They're not going to be afraid of you. Yakra Hashem, Hashem will strike you, b'shchin mitzrayim, with the boils like in the plague of Egypt, uvat chayrim, and with hemorrhoids, uvat gorov, v'sachachores, with wet boils and dry boils, asheleh sucha li'rofi, that you're never going to be able to be cured from. These are all the various curses.
Yeah, but if what? One person seen in city, all city get punishment?
They're all responsible for one another. After this, the responsible one for another? Yeah.
That's
what yes, you punish. But that's only when I could stop the person from sinning.
I try to stop.
I'm not responsible for what goes on the other end of the world if I don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. Correct?
Yeah.
But if the person I know and I could stop him from sinning, or I'm responsible to make sure he does a mitzvah and I don't, yeah, then I'm responsible. That's the halacha, kol yisrael eivim zeh b'chovo, well, responsible one for another.
Excuse me, is there a certain number of sins? Because, I mean, we're not, we're 613. All the
real, huh? 613 mitzvahs, 248 and 365.
No, you're not understanding what I'm saying. I mean, not every person is a perfect individual. We all commit one sin, form of sin or another.
Yeah, but
is
then you could do tshuva.
Is there a sin that sins that we have to perform in order to earn some form
no.
of punishment?
No, no, no. Sorry.
Sorry what?
You can't sin.
Zero?
No.
It's interesting. I think Rashi says it, I think it's Parsha Kitisa. One of the Parshas in Shabbos, he says, comes to the power of sin. He says, before the Egel HaZahav, they were able to handle
the revelation.
The Son. And then after, they couldn't even handle Moshe Rabbeinu's, he had to wear a curtain over his face.
What sin does is it cuts the lifeline between the Jew and Hashem.
Connection. Cut the connection.
That's what the Alter Rebbe talks about. He gets a tshuva, the whole concept of tshuva and sinning. Aveda cuts and blocks. It's like a cloud.
V5.
Like we learned Shabbos morning. You have thick clouds and thin clouds. You know, a lot of thin clouds can darken like a thick cloud. So you have sun shining and the spiritual godliness shining, right? You can create clouds by sinning. You create clouds that darken the sunlight.
What if they're inadvertent?
But does the Alter Rebbe explain that there are some sins that even tshuva can't help? There are some sins that tshuva.
No, ain't no davar shem ifnei tshuva. This that the Gemara says, in fact, he explains dafka this point. This that the Gemara says tshuva doesn't help means a lower level of tshuva doesn't help. But there's nothing that stands in the way of tshuva. Nothing.
And probably the Rambam goes over the higher levels of tshuva.
No, the Rambam discusses the easier levels of tshuva. Okay, weiter. Hashem will hit you with the boils and the trim with the hemorrhoids and all that good stuff. Okay, 28. Chavches. Yakra Hashem b'shigoyin u'v'yivorin. Hashem will strike you with madness and with blindness, with sim and levav, and confounding of that, meaning really messed up and confused. V'yitzim m'mashmash b'atzorayim. You will grope at noontime, meaning when the sun is brightest. Like the blind man gropes in the darkness, you won't be successful in your ways. You will only be cheated and robbed all the days. And there'll be no savior. In other words, you're going to be totally messed up.
These are blessings.
Very blessed.
Hidden blessed. Surgery, remember.
Again, these are all the forms of surgery that cures the illnesses.
Good example, surgery.
Isha Sa'aresh, you'll betroth a woman, Vish Acha Yishkevena, and another man will live with her. Bayis Tivna, you'll build a house, Vleisethiv, but you won't live in it. But Sekerem Tita, you're gonna plant a vineyard, Vleisechalalenu, you'll never be able to, redeem it, meaning, get the fruits, and so on and so forth.
It's all surgeries without anesthesia.
Yep. Sharchotam, it's true. There's a story with one of the Majutsu Rebbes. The Majutsu were very much into music. It's a famous story. In fact, the Rebbe even brings it down in a sikh, but it's a very famous story about the Majutsu. They were very much into music. One of the Majutsu Rebbes needed a surgery. The Majutsu Rebbes used to compose music. There's a lot of Majutsu records and tapes and all that. He needed surgery for something, serious surgery, but he wasn't able to do the anesthesia. So the doctor said, we can't do it. He said, no. He said, the doctor, like this. When you are about to cut me open, tell me no. And he went into a daze, and he went into the world of Nagina. He composed a song on the operating table when they did the surgery without the anesthesia.
Oh my.
And he survived the surgery by putting himself through music into a different world.
That is possible.
Is it?
Obviously he did it. He's a great man.
Wow.
But he did it. I'm saying, of course it's possible. Sometimes you have to be a great person to do it. Because that means you have to remove yourself completely from what's going on in the world. And then they finished the surgery, he finished composing the song, and he woke up. And it was successful.
Don't try this at home.
No, don't do this at home.
Not for everybody.
You won't be able to.
Not for everybody.
Sharcha tavuach leinacha. Your ox will be slaughtered right before your eyes. You're not going to eat anything of it. Your donkey will be stolen right before you. You'll never return it. Your sheep will be given to your enemies. You'll never have any savior with it. Your sons and your daughters. But we saw the story, what the Rebbe brings down, that the Mittel Rebbe was before Bar Mitzvah, and like this, the Alter Rebbe was the Balkore in the shul. One time the Alter Rebbe was away for this Parsha, and when the Mittel Rebbe was before Bar Mitzvah, heard this Kri of the Teichacha, he fainted. He fainted. When he came to him, and by the way, he was so sick that the Alter Rebbe didn't know if he can even fast Yom Kippur, which was like a month later. That's how sick he got. So they said to him, why did you faint? Like, he said, these curses, I couldn't take them. So they said, but your father reads the Torah every year and you don't faint? So he said, when my father reads the Torah, I don't hear the curses. In other words, he reads it in a way that you see the bracha in it. The hidden bracha in the curses. Okay. In fact, this he says at the bottom that certain soldiers are excused from battlefield because, you know, they just got married or they just built a home or they just made a vineyard. Here it's going to be common that they're all going to be going to war. And nothing's going to happen. But now, this is even a worse curse. But now, your sons and your daughters, nesunim la'am acher, will be given to a different nations. You're going to see it by you with your own eyes. And you will in vain look for them for a whole day. And your hand will be powerless. Kel means power. Yodecha will not have any power to it. So here at the bottom he explains also again The Romans selected the most attractive young Jews, shipped them to Rome to be slaves, and to gratify the lust of the conquerors. And this is what this curse was.
Have these curses already taken place?
Hitler. If you speak to people in World War II, they'll tell you this happened.
This happened already.
If you learn the Midrashim an Eicha, this happened. Literally, it happened. Not, we said Holocaust, Churban Bayis Sheni. This is,
So it's a time for Moshiach now, then.
Yep.
We've already paid for all our...
We paid it. Right? It says also in Svarim, we mentioned this the other day also, on Shabbos, this pregnancy and this birth. Pregnancy reflects Golus.
Inside, locked.
Huh?
Locked, yeah.
First of all, it's hidden. Yes. Not only that, the Gemara says, fetal position, by the way, in English means, the head and the feet are on the same level, right? It's like a ball. The head and the feet. What's in Golus? The people that are supposed to be on top are at the bottom. The people on the bottom are supposed to be on top. It's the fetal position. Golus is like, pregnancy is likened to Golus. Golus is likened to pregnancy. When the person is born, so then it comes out in a revealed form. Then the head is not on the feet, it's a separate, and it's all good. The worst pains in the childbearing pains is right before the baby comes out. That's the worst pain, as they tell you in the classes. When the woman says she can't take it anymore, that's when the baby comes out. Right? That's what happens. So, the Chevli Mashiach, the pains which are right before Mashiach that the Nevi'im prophesies about, says in Sodom, represent the last pains right before the baby is born, before Geula, before redemption. So there's the pregnancy state when the baby's hidden and it doesn't, it's all messed up, the order and everything is nuts. But the worst pain is right before the Geula. The darkest part of night
dawn is
right before dawn. And that's all these hidden brachas are like the labor pains, which again, are they good or bad?
They're good
because the baby's coming out. They're painful. Yeah. They say if men would have babies, this is what the women say. If men would have babies, they would only have one. Because after the pain, they wouldn't be able to do it. But let me tell you the truth. There was once a expectant father was pacing in the waiting room for his wife to have a baby. And he's going back and forth. And finally, the nurse comes out and she says, "Congratulations, your wife had a daughter." He says, "Thank God this baby is not going to have to go through what I just went through." What?
In the Megillah, it says that Hashem says, I guess in the Torah too, in the Chumash too, it says, "Vanochi haster aser pana. I'll doubly hide my face." We just talked about all these things, all the curses and everything.
He's at the level of Hasid Astin, but Hasid Astin is not finished later, already. Is such a high level that even the concealment is concealed. Even the concealment is concealed. Hasid Astin.
From whom?
And it's such a revelation of good. It's so concealed that even the concealment is concealed. From us, yeah. From Hashem, it's not hidden.
Incredible.
So these are all the pains right before giving birth. This is the surgery pains. These are all the, seemingly it's terrible. Seemingly it's terrible. But, it's not something somebody wants. But what's unique over here about this is even when we mess ourselves up, you know, we make ourselves sick, to use a physical analogy. Even when we do things that literally make ourselves sick, yeah, Hashem says, you know what? There's still hope to fix it. It might be painful, but we can fix it. Don't give up hope.
My mom always says, with his life, there's hope.
Yeah. When there's life, there's hope, yeah. When you're alive. When there's, the problem is when you're not alive, then there's no hope.
That's right.
You don't know what I'm about.
Yeah, but... okay. Next week is...